This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It's a nightmare in Texas. High, hot temperatures even deep into the night. Smoke from Canadian wildfires smashing into the Midwest. Wow, very, very little visibility in Chicago. Travel disruptions, more than 8,000 flights delayed or canceled. My, oh, my. And we're coming up on the 4th of July holiday. How you doing, America and beyond our borders? Kate Delaney, thanks so much for joining us on the show. So I used to live in Texas, and I know when I first moved there, having grown up, I've said this before, but I've had the pleasure of living in every, I call it quadrant, every section of the United States, from the Southwest to the Southeast to the North to the Midwest, you know, all over the map. And when I moved to Texas, I remember people telling me, oh, it's so hot in Texas. I mean, that story about throwing an egg into the street and you could fry it up, it's really true. It's just brutal. And there were some brutal times when I was there, but not what we're seeing now. I never had the length of time of seeing these triple digits that feel so crazy hot where you can actually say it feels like it's 125 degrees. I mean, it is a brutal heat wave across Texas and the South, and it's impacting millions of Americans with the extreme humidity and the triple digits and the heat index. It's really more than 110 degrees in some of our more populous areas. So what happens is you get all these warnings constantly. You get these warnings that are on the roadways, alert about the extreme heat. You get the warnings when you tune in to the local news, when you tune into this radio station and others, because that's what people are talking about. And it's good to talk about it because I think sometimes it's not that you forget, but you think that you can take it, and you put yourself in situations where you don't even realize it's dangerous and you're not hydrated. And then the unthinkable happens, and that's happened to a few people already in Dallas, for one, at Big Bend National Park. You had a 14-year-old who died there. You had an experienced postman who died in Dallas. So it's good to have a lot of those warnings. If it seems like there's so many redundancies, it's good. So Dallas is a great place to talk about because 6 consecutive days without seeing temperatures drop below 80 degrees Fahrenheit overnight, a record. And here's the thing, it makes sense because it's an area with a lot of asphalt and concrete and buildings and freeways. And they absorb the sun's heat more than places with parks and rivers and tree-lined streets. So at night, you don't get that cool down. You don't get that the retained heat is released back into the air. That's part of the problem. So if you've got a lot of green space, then it's going to be cooler even when it's hot. So what do the cities do? Well, they have cooling shelters. They try to really focus on areas where people could be vulnerable. It's the same thing in Houston. They're seeing the same thing. They haven't had temperatures below 80 degrees. And it's really tough when the nighttime is like that as well. And this is in other parts of the South, too, that people are feeling. It's just kind of heed that warning. As somebody who didn't heed it, and I know what the consequences are when I got really sick with a heat illness because I thought I'm in great shape. I went to the water fountain. I took a couple of sips. I was covering the Dallas Cowboys and I was in and off the field and I wasn't in the shade that much. Come on. And then I am very, very lucky because it was, you know, I had to have fluids. I had to do that whole thing, and it was scary, scary, scary. All right, travel disruptions, I mentioned that. So we've got a lot of people that in fact, record numbers expected in the air and on the roads because it's 4th of July weekend, especially with 4th of July on a Tuesday. So you already know you're going to travel if you're traveling anywhere at a time when it's going to be heightened amount of people. And then you look at flights. And I just had a neighbor who went from Florida to Greensboro and had nightmares. Like, ended up just having, there was no flight, basically, and had to drive 14 hours back home and stop a couple of times for fruit. And that was it. He had to take his teenage daughter to an event, and they got stuck on both ends. And this is the kind of things people are experiencing in parts of the country where you're talking about waiting for luggage and no luggage and being in the customer service line and how many people are in the line in front of you. So then looking at alternative ways to get back to where you came from is what some people are doing. And part of that was you had the delays or the cancellations because of the storms that ripped through the country, especially the Mid-Atlantic area and the Northeast with some of the busy hubs. So the chaos happens when you get the weather, the severe weather. And United Airlines was one of the worst. About 19% of its schedule canceled, another 43% or over 1,200 flights delayed. And this is that domino effect that you see that happens. And on Tuesday night, you know, you had the FAA implementing temporary ground stops, rather, for flights going to all three major airports in the New York area. So the average delays leaving LaGuardia are more than 2 hours. And that's thunderstorms in New York blocking arrival and departure routes for those three airports. So what do you do? You just got to expect the delays. And then you have also other problems, other staffing problems, air traffic control centers. And air traffic control centers are run by the Federal Aviation Administration. And they don't have enough people in some cases. So staffing problems that are challenging and unprecedented. You got to have the tower, and that's going to lead to problems. So you add that into the mix along with the weather and forget about it. And, you know, so what do you do? I've said this before, and I know that many of you are facing this. I'm really serious when I say you have to pack your patience and your backup plan and your backup plan to your backup plan. If you're not a planner and you're used to winging it, that's like not a thing you can wing, because what happens if you get somewhere and you say, oh, well, forget it, I'll just rent a car, and then you have to be able to look things up. You got to figure out how you're going to get from one place to the other. And we live in the world of my favorite phrase that I said 2 years ago on this show, figure it out. We live in the land of figure it out, because that's what it's about. I mean, it's about you get stuck, you feel yourself bubbling up, and you got to take that breath and realize you are not alone. There are other people that are stuck in the very, very same situation. All right, coming up next, a conversation with a really neat author with an incredible story to tell. His book, You're Invited. More about him, his characters, and the book coming up around the bend.
It's all too obvious. We're being distracted by meaningless news headlines. When you dig to find the truth, you discover that the American way of life is being threatened by the institutions we used to trust. It's easy to see the future holds more food shortages, systematic controls, and government overreach. But instead of throwing up their hands, folks are preparing. They're taking steps to be self-reliant and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy to get started and join the ranks with this limited-time offer. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and get their top-selling 4-week emergency food kit. Enjoy tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get new lower pricing this week on these 4-week emergency food kits. Secure at least one food kit for each member of your family. The ship free, too. Those who know what's coming are preparing. Smart folks. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney. I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Guinness. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com. Author's Corner. It's so exciting for me to introduce you to our next guest because he's written a book I think that is such a game changer. I say that sometimes, but I really, and I mean it when I say it, and so I really sincerely mean that this could be a great game changer for not just kids, but for adults too. Jason Newstater joins us, and the book is called You're Invited. We had a great off-air conversation, so I can't wait to share his story with you. Jason, thanks so much for hopping on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So let's talk about You're Invited and the road to writing this, because it's so interesting that you had this on your mind, as you told me, way before you wrote it. What was the whole idea behind, I know I'm going to put this together, what happened?
Yeah, I actually wrote the You're Invited around 12 years ago. I wrote it for my kids before I was married and before I had kids. I just knew I was going to have kids, and I wanted to give them an invitation to a kind king, which is Jesus, in my belief, and I wanted to give them an invitation, and so I wrote the invitation to my kids in book form.
And in writing it in book form and telling the story, you tell the story of David. So tell us the story about young David and what happens.
Yeah, so David's left in a village by his parents and is taken in by a lady in the village, like all the other children that are left there. But she's not so kind. She takes them in, houses them, but uses them more of slaves and controls them more than loving them. And so David keeps seeing this castle on top of Mount Everlast, and he hears all these rumors about this kind king that lives up there, and he just kind of daydreams about what it would be like to live in the kingdom with this kind king. And one day he's daydreaming, and the king's horsemen come riding into the village with invitations. They're throwing out invitations, and David happens to catch one, and he says, this could be my chance to actually be with the kind king at the banquet. So he makes a gift. He tries to find his best clothes to try to make it up to the kingdom, but he's stopped by this lady who doesn't want to lose her children. And so she calls her assistants to try to stop David in his tracks as he journeys up the mountain to see this king. So they end up finding him on his journey up to see the king and destroying his gift, pushing him in the mud puddle, make him all dirty. So he kind of feels defeated that he's not good enough to come into the presence of this kind king. But he ends up by one of the soldiers, comes into the throne room and explains to the king, like, I have nothing to give you. I'm dirty. I nobody loves me. I don't have a gift for you. And the king kind of stops him in his tracks and says, David, I didn't invite you because of what you can give me. I invited you because I love you. And, you know, that day he wasn't just sat next to the king at the banquet. He was adopted by the king and now he was his father. And so now he had a dad. And so that's the journey of David, to find the presence of the king, but also become a son in the kingdom.
And you had your journey, and this is kind of, I think, part of this. What happened in your life that led you to ultimately the space where you felt like, okay, I get this. I get that there's God. I get that it's here,
yeah,
with things that you went through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I hated God. I hated God's people. I hated the church because I was sexually abused by pastors. And so I didn't want nothing to do with them. I was not going to choose God. But at 11 years old, as a kid, and that's why the children's book's important to me, as a kid, God showed up in my living room, my parents' living room, and I experienced and encountered the love of the Father for the very first time and had the ability to forgive the people that hurt me and realize that it wasn't God that hurt me. It was just, you know, the flawed man that hurt me. And so it took me on a journey from being a slave to unforgiveness and hurt and bitterness to a journey to encounter this king that loves me so much.
Wow, what a lesson in that for so many people. When I said this at the top, that's why I said it's such a game changer, not just for children, because definitely for children, but also adults can take something away from reading your book. And you found that in some of the people that have read your book. That has to be gratifying, is it?
Yeah, it is. It is. One, because the book has already accomplished what I want it to accomplish. My kids have read it. They've seen the pictures. And so it's already accomplished what it's accomplished. So even if one more person picks up the book and their life is touched by the message, it's already done more than what I planned it to be. So it's really rewarding to hear feedback and testimonies of adults even saying, I've read it a number of times with tears in my eyes, knowing that they grew up in foster care or they were adopted or they were abandoned or something. And it just really touched their life.
What do you hope people take away from reading You're Invited, which you can get this book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, my one hope is that it brings hope. This loving king named Jesus, he's not just for the ones that have their life together. He came for the brokenhearted. He came for the sick. And the invitation is for everybody, young and old. And my hope is that they find themselves in David's shoes, whether they feel like they're enslaved to unforgiveness or whether they feel like they're in the mud puddle of life, just broken, that there is hope, that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and that there is a kingdom with a king that loves them.
Wow. And your children, like you said, you accomplished this by putting that out there and having your children be able to have access to that. And that has to feel good as we bring it back around to have made that connection, especially when that was in your head, the story was there, and then you put it out. What was that like when they first were able to read the book?
it was actually surreal. Because I didn't have kids. I wanted kids, but now I'm actually sitting watching my very own kids read the invitation that I wrote them 12 years ago. And then seeing that my my ceiling has now become their floor to build their life on. And they're one step further than I was when I was a kid.
Wow, what a perfect place to end this. Jason Newstater, I can't say it enough. This book is very powerful. It's wonderfully illustrated, too, by the way.
Thank you so much.
It really is. And you put thought into that, didn't you?
Yeah, actually, I had a... we were youth pastors, and one of my students that really was had an encounter with the love of God as well. I did their wedding, and she said, for doing my wedding, I would like to illustrate your book. She's an artist, so that's the connection.
Yeah, excellent job. Again, you can pick this up Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever good books are sold, like I said before. Jason, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Kate, for having me.
What a good guy. And you can go to his website, too, as well, wildandwonderkids.com, wildandwonderkids.com. Coming up, we have still more for you, including a great conversation with Scott Curley, who has an interesting background himself of things that happened to him as a kid, where it's different, where he talks about eventually getting in trouble for stealing a car and how he has really flipped his life around and the company that he runs today, how things changed for him. And then finally, it's kind of something interesting here that I just happened to come across. It could be one of those UBIs that Jeremy Paulson and I do once a week on this show, but the first barcode that was scanned, I found out, 1974. It was on a pack of Juicy Fruit gum at a grocery store in Troy, Ohio. Yes, 1974. And think about now, scan. Everything is scanning. Oh, for goodness sake, when you go to the grocery store, isn't it the most frustrating thing when it doesn't work? Or, here's a better example. You go to Home Depot, and you're just looking, you're scanning. This thing doesn't work. And then finally an associate comes up, and they help you to try to figure it out if they can. But barcodes turned 40 this week. And it was a 10-pack of Juicy Fruit gum that I just mentioned. It happened at 8 o'clock in the morning on June 26th, it happened, 1974, at a Marsh supermarket in, as I mentioned, Troy, Ohio. So hang through. Scott Curley joins us next.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. Former President Trump is defending his actions of discussing alleged classified documents with his staff and others after leaving office.
And what was said was absolutely fine and very, very perfectly. We did nothing wrong. This is a whole hoax.
Trump responding to a CNN audio recording from 2021 where he talks about retaining the documents. Trump mentioned that he and his staff were dealing with a number of matters besides those documents. Flight delays and cancellations continue to pile up due to severe weather. According to FlightAware, over 4,700 flights have been delayed within or out of the U.S. Meantime, over 1,400 flights have been canceled across the country. Ryan Seacrest will be named the new host of Wheel of Fortune. That's according to the New York Times, which cited two people familiar with plans for the long-running game show. Pat Sajak recently announced the next season of the show will be his last after four decades of hosting. John Schaefer, USA News.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Great story. This time around in Author's Corner here in America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, we have Scott Allen Curley with us. His book is called Absolution, The Dark Path to Light. We had such a great off-air conversation. He's such a jolt of inspiration because of what he overcame, what he has to offer, and what he's doing right now is so fascinating. Scott, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, Kate.
So let's talk about, first of all, your background, because you're a self-made millionaire, but people would say, oh, that's unlikely. I'm sure a lot of people said, no way is this going to happen for this guy. So let's talk about the beginnings of your life and some of the things that happened to you, how you kind of fell into this bad gap.
Wow. Well, we would need more than 9 minutes for that, but but I'll give you the elevator pitch. Basically, I was raised in a very dysfunctional household. I was adopted, and everything was about impressions and image. So I was kind of raised to focus more on the outside as opposed to the inside, which left me pretty emotionally devoid and missing a lot of, I think, important parts as a kid, you know, growing up. So I kind of created this alternate persona to get me through. And so I just created this world and this image of myself of being kind of overly everything, overly confident, overly popular, overly athletic, per se. When all along I was just completely lost in who I was as a person on the inside. And it was a conflict that I struggled with my entire childhood that kind of spilled into early adulthood, where it came to came to a head, and that's when things just really went upside down. I got in trouble with, I started doing drugs, got in trouble with the law a lot. Never hurt, never did anything violent or sexual in nature, but was stealing cars and radios and all that. Ended up going back and forth to jail. And ultimately got sent to prison for a 35-year sentence for auto theft. And that was a reality check. That was one of the things I could not talk myself out of.
Wow. So you fast forward to you come out of prison, all of that, and now you're the co-CEO of Finish Line Tax Solutions, and it's one of the nation's largest tax relief firms. You live on a ranch outside of Dallas. I mean, you have this wonderful life. So tell us about the book and what made you write it, and what can people expect in Absolution, the dark path which you described, to light?
Well, you know, it took me years to build the courage to write this book because there was so much self-inflicted trauma in my life, plus out, you know, external traumas, not only, you know, with self-esteem issues, identity issues. I didn't know who I was, didn't know where I belonged. Then, of course, I'll go to prison four times. I spent 10 years in prison. And then once I get out, I'm told that I can't get a license to do this. I can't do that. I can't own a gun. You can't. There's so many things that a person who has been to prison cannot do. But it did not change the fact that I felt like I still owed it to myself to try or deserved it. So I had to change my mindset from asking why and go into asking why not. And that is what kind of started leading me down the path of pursuing my own goals and dreams, despite what they were telling me or society was telling me I couldn't do. I have a way of looking at the world that is somewhat different from what I hear other people say. I look at the world and I see opportunities and obstacles. So what that means is every single thing I do, I have to do it outside of the box. Everything. I can't get an apartment in my name. I, you know, there's certain types of banking activities that I can't do, you know, certain type of loans. They look at your background and your history. And although it's 30 years ago, it will still just categorically disqualify me from some of the basic things that the average person can do. So what I've had to do and what I've trained myself to do is to think outside of the box, because I'm not going to accept the fact that I'm not worthy nor entitled to opportunities just because you tell me I'm not meaning UK, of course. But so that's, I pursue things not because you say I can't, but because I say I can. I just have to find creative ways to accomplish my goals.
All right. So this book, by the way, is on Amazon, Barnes and Noble, wherever great books are sold. One of the things you told me is success is in your line of sight. And you said you couldn't accept being a victim. There's such a lesson in this for so many people. So when people get your book, what can they expect? What will they learn?
Well, they'll learn that I have, my life has been a wild ride, and I will, and the vast majority of the challenges that I faced were self-imposed. I'll be the first to admit that. At the same time, I absolutely, unequivocally refuse to take a victim stance. I'm a firm believer in owning all of my shortcomings. You know, we got to own them. You know, if we make a mistake, I don't use the word failure. I use the word shortcoming, because a failure is only a failure if you stop trying. Muhammad Ali said that you don't lose when you fall down. You lose when you stay down. So we don't fail. It's not a failure if we hit a shortcoming or if we find ourselves in a self-imposed problematic situation. We fail when we quit and we stop trying to move forward and move past it. So I see I see those situations as being opportunities to learn from and to grow from. And that's the one thing I think folks should take from the book, Absolution, The Dark Path to Light, is to not confuse barriers with obstacles. A barrier is something that you cannot get through. Prison was a barrier. I couldn't get out until they let me out, you know. However, barriers are not as abundant as obstacles are. We all face obstacles, but we tend to view them as barriers. An obstacle is just something that you have to work around. And once I really started understanding that, then it really just opened up all sorts of opportunities for me, because an obstacle is an opportunity, because not only do you work around it and you learn something, but it makes you stronger. It makes you more creative in the way you think. So I welcome I welcome obstacles.
Well, I love that. Barrier is different from obstacles. That's a huge takeaway, like you said, I think, for people reading this. All right, tell us about your company, and how did that all start?
Yeah, we started this company. I was homeless, actually. When you read the book, or for those of your listeners who choose to read the book, a perfect storm had developed, literally, in my life that rendered me homeless for 58 days. And I had a friend, or have a friend, his name's Brian Gordon, who was in a very catastrophic situation also, and we grew up together. But he knew that I knew this industry, and he knew I was good at sales and marketing, and so he was able to come up with $2,000. And he told me, he said, "Scott, man, if I come up with $2,000, you think you got one more in you?" Because he knew I started a company like this before, and it did well, and I sold it, and it's still in existence. So I said, "Brian, if it can be done, we can do it." So we took the $2,000, and I had people in my ear saying, "Man, you got, yeah," because I was in a little cheap, cheesy Motel 8 hotel, kind of seedy, and there were folks in my ear like, "Man, you just get a job. You've got a roof over your head for less than 2 weeks, and you don't have money. Take that job," because I was offered a job to sell timeshares with a base salary of, maybe $500 a week. That made no sense to me. I felt like I have an opportunity. Yes, it's $2,000, but I know me and I know what I'm capable of. And it could have been $200,000, because I had zero doubt that it would succeed. I was so confident that I turned down a quote unquote real job to start a business while being homeless with $2,000. So despite what everyone said, we did that. In the first week, we turned that $2,000 into $10,000. The next week we did the same thing. 3 months later we had a little office, and in the first year we did about $1 million, and we've doubled in size every year. So we got honored by Inc. magazine last year for being one of the fastest growing companies in the country. I think we made, we were ranked number 1304 out of 34 million companies.
Wow.
So yeah. It's been a ride.
It has been a ride. And finally, when you look at this and then you put this all together in the book, that had to feel good to see the book, to be able to touch the book, to put your life in these words and then share them with other people and spread your wisdom. Does it feel really good?
It does now. It does. It was very emotionally draining writing this book, because I was forced to face and remember and revisit so many dark places that I'd been. And so I had to get a little hand-holding along the way, but I knew that if I'm going to write an autobiography, then I have to be real. I have to tell the truth and cut no corners. Otherwise, it's a work of fiction, and so I it took years to build the courage, but I felt like, and I was told actually, that it would be selfish of me to not write it, considering the extreme transitions that I've made in my life. So that was what really pushed me over the edge to go ahead and write it, because had I done it, I couldn't have done it, or may not have done it, just for myself. But when I was told and was reminded of how many people need to hear this and may benefit and learn from it, that's what made me do it.
Yeah, perfect place to end this. Absolution, The Dark Path to Light. Scott Allen Curley, what a delight. Pick this up, Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever great books are sold. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, Kate.
This is
Kate Delaney, I am truly amazed by this audience. Many of you have been reaching out to me to ask more on what I call the No Drone Zone. How do you find out about the show or listen to podcasts or guests or even my books? So here we go. Go to katedelaneyradio.com for more on what's shaking in my orbit. To reach me, simply hit the contact tab and send an email. Behind the scenes photos, great video, travels, the dog. Yeah, that's Dennis. He is the mascot. Go to Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Kate Delaney fan page on Facebook. Or hit me up on Twitter at Kate S. Delaney. At Kate S. Delaney. For any of my books, including Deal Your Own Destiny, Amazon simply is the easiest. Thanks for listening as we talk about what's happening in my backyard and yours and how it affects us. We throw in laughs, cheap movie reviews, the man cave, and authors with some interesting stories to tell. If you've already forgotten everything I've just said, just go to katedelaneyradio.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
He's in the virtual green room, William Vincoli. The name of his book is I Take Thee, Angela, A Life in Poetry. And we talked off the air, and it's so interesting. You know, you think of people who have those marriages that seem to last forever, and he was absolutely in love with his wife, and I think the same thing probably back on her end. I would have loved to meet her. 56 years married. Thank you so much for joining us, William.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
And you have a pen name, by the way. Tell us about that.
Oh, my pen name is Guglielmo, which is William in Italian. And as a matter of fact, it's on my birth certificate, so I just use that as my pen name.
I like that. Guglielmo. It's so pretty. And that's how you'll find it. You go on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. So, first of all, tell us about this love story about meeting your wife and what life was like.
Well, I met my wife when she was 16 and I was 18, and she was on Rye Beach with her girlfriend, and I was with my buddy, and the two of us said, oh boy, there's two cuties, let's go over. And we spent most of the afternoon on the beach. My friend was interested in Angela, and so I was stuck with Bobby, and you know, we talked and then we parted. And I didn't hear or see her for 2 years. And then all of a sudden, my sister's girlfriend said, how would you like to meet a nice Italian girl? And she introduced me, and I couldn't believe it. There was Angela. And I really believe it was fate that we met again.
Right, so you didn't, the first time it didn't happen, I like how you said I was stuck. You didn't meet her the first time, but then the second time around, it was a hit. What was life like for the two of you? Did you go on many adventures and whatnot?
Well, we started dating, and of course her parents are very, very strict Italians. And I was the first one that her mother liked. She had met a few boys, but her mother liked me for some reason, and and we went out, and I'll never forget when I she was in high school. She was graduating, and I wanted to propose, and I had the ring, and we were right in front of her house in the car, and I went to give her the ring, and the tenant upstairs said, "Why don't you two give it up?" And it just spoiled the whole thing, but it didn't spoil our relationship. So it was amazing. I just adored her.
Yeah, mother, grandmother, wife, like I said, all those decades married. And something you told me that I thought was so interesting, which a lot of people can't say, you were never apart more than 2 weeks.
Yep, only 2 weeks. When I was in the bank, I had to go to the University of Indiana for 2 weeks. And I'll tell you, it was torture, but that was the only time we were apart. It was amazing.
And then you fast forward, and sadly, Angela gets pancreatic cancer, and that had to be such a blow. But what a fighter she was through the whole thing, huh?
Well, let me tell you, it amazed me, because she was usually very timid, and she was very quiet, very quiet person. But I'll tell you, she fought like a tiger. She lasted 2.5 years going to chemo, radiation, it was just doctor's visit. It wasn't a good 2.5 years, but at least we were together.
Yeah, and boy, I'll tell you what, you never hear that with pancreatic cancer. She really wanted to be there. There's no question about that. And let's talk about your poetry and writing the poems. How did all that come about for you?
Well, you know, there's always been an expression, you're a poet and you don't know it, and that was me. So I don't know where these poems, they just came from my heart and my soul. And I kept putting them on paper and paper. And finally, after she passed, I put them together and I got in touch with the publisher and we made a book out of it. And I was amazed.
Yeah, you talk about everything. What's so cool? I mean, you talk about the treatments. I mean, you have several poems all about that. What that's like. You talk about so much that happened there. You talk about hospice at home, because people always wonder about that. You talk about that whole journey, but you also talk about the beginning of your love story and motherhood and all of that. The marriage planned and a bump in the road and the big move. Tell us about the big move, because you wrote a great poem about that.
Well, you know, my wife adored her children, and when I decided, when I retired, and I wanted to move to Florida, for some reason I had in my head I wanted to move to Florida. I had purchased the acreage down there many years before. She didn't want to go. She didn't want to go. And finally she went, and when we got down there, she loved it. When we'd come up here, she'd say, "Honey, let's go home." And so it was amazing. It was really a smooth transition. And those 9 years in Florida were the happiest years of our life.
Yeah, you said, you know, lots of walks, huh?
Oh, we used to walk, and we used to say the rosary, and you'd see an alligator cross the road while we were walking. It was, you know, and little ducks would cross the road. We'd walk 3 miles every day in a circle. And she loved it, and I loved it. The weather was great. We were not near the coast. We were inland. We had spring, summer, and fall. And what I did was I built the house, and I built it like the condo that we lived in, because I know she didn't want to go there, but I wanted her to be comfortable. And she was. After a while, she loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mentioned in with your poems, it was really a journey through your whole life. There's no question about that. And you definitely weren't shy about letting your feelings go when it came to the treatments, when it came to hospice, when it came to her eulogy. Was that cathartic for you to write about that, to come up with the poems to describe it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you know what? all we have that's really, really valuable in the end is memories. And my memories are there. And I, the memories in the book aren't all good, but they're there, and it was our life, and it was amazing. It was amazing. You never realize how fast time goes, and it just zips by.
Boy, isn't that true. And you have four kids. You had four kids. What did the children think of your poetry book?
Well, they can't believe that their father is a poet. It's like, I can't believe it either. I really am. And English was my worst subject, so what can I say?
It just goes to show you anything can happen. And what are you hoping? You're really saying this. What do you hope, William, people take away from reading this book, reading, picking it up at any point, because that's what you can do with poetry. What do you hope their thoughts are when they put it down?
Well, you know, I've learned for the most part, and this is only human, that during our lifetime, we really don't show each other how much we love each other. And I'm just hoping that someone who reads the book will give more love and attention to their significant other. Because love is the most beautiful four-letter word in the world. And then it can move mountains.
Boy, I so agree with that. Perfect place to end this. Again, Angela, A Life in Poetry. Guglielmo is the name on the book, which stands for William, as we learned at the beginning of this. You can get it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. Thanks so much for sharing your story with us.
Thank you, Kate. My pleasure. Thank you.
Wow, such a great story. And, you know, what's interesting about William is it's like he talked about the life, the meeting. Think about that, many of you out there who have swung for the fences and missed or got lucky enough and you've been married for however long. 56 years is so, in so many ways, unheard of in modern times. I'm going to say moving forward even just a couple of decades ago. And his poetry really is so well done because you can tell when you read it, he's thinking of exactly what is happening. And is as he said, at 90, he's 90 years old, that he was a poet. He didn't even know it. I love that expression. My father was a poet, so reading it was just so lovely. And he talks about, you know, in the beginning when he talked about meeting Angela, he's got a poem called We Meet Again, and he says, 2 years passed and fate was there, a shadow from above, a blind date was arranged. Who would have thought about love? It was you, the girl I had met that day upon the beach. Wow, you were back. There you were, right within my reach. As time went by, love grew and grew. I asked you to be my wife. You heard him describe that to us. Could this be real? Was I just dreaming? Is she back in my life? Was a dream of the past now coming true? I couldn't believe that you would want me, and I was to be married to you. Did you really say yes? Did I hear right? My heart was beating. My throat felt so tight. And what a wonderful start to that poem. And you can read that, the rest of that, and all of those poems by picking up the book, I Take Thee, Angela, A Life in Poetry. Thanks for listening to this interview and this show. Make it count, everybody.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.